Well, since Mike told everybody I was going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit, I guess I'll do that. Actually, I'm going to be speaking on, talking about walking in the Spirit. And it's not necessarily an easy subject to talk on because there are so many people that have so many different views. And it seems like whoever you talk to has their own view about what it is and how it should be done. But we're going to try to hit it a lick tonight and see if we can see from the Word some things that God has to say. And actually, what I'm going to be talking about tonight fits in very well with what Gene Ward spoke on last week, which was walking in obedience. And he talked about the blessings that you receive from walking in obedience, how God wants to bless your life, and He wants to make you purified and holy and righteous, and some hindrances to that. And then what some of the helps are as far as realizing that God is sovereign, God is in control, and that He does love you, and He knows what's best for you. He can run your life a lot better than you can run it. And even though the circumstances may not be what you want them to be, that it really is for your benefit. And that fits in very well with what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers or have it all figured out. But I think over the past year and a half, I've learned a few things that might help get your nose turned in the right direction. We're going to be reading Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can begin to turn there. And as you're turning, let me give you a couple of things as I read that I'd like for you to concentrate on or look at or think about. One is, I want you to notice the contrast between the law and the Spirit. The contrast He makes between the law and the Spirit, and then the contrast He makes between the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And we'll start at about verse 13, and we'll read all the way through the end there. Start in verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another." Well, I want to look briefly at tonight. It's basically what is walking in the Spirit, why do we need to do it, how do you do it, what's the benefits of doing that. And the first thing I want to, that it's important to understand is that walking in the Spirit means understanding that Satan is battling for your life. Is that going in and out a little bit? Is it on now? Okay, it's on now. If it's not on, somebody wave me down. Okay, the first thing means understanding that Satan is battling for your life. Verse 16 and 17 tell us that there is a very real battle going on between the flesh and between the Spirit. And the last part there says that you may not do the things that you please, and these are the things according to please the flesh. And so that means that as a Christian, there are going to be some things that you and I can't do, like going to X-rated movies and looking at bad magazines or hanging around the wrong crowd or being involved in angry discussions or backbiting or envying and all of these kinds of things. And the reason is you've got a battle here. You've got the Spirit on one side and He's trying to take control. And you've got the flesh on the other side and He's wanting to take control of the Spirit. And depending on which side you're focusing your life on, that's the one that's going to start controlling your life. Okay? So you've got to realize that there really is a real battle going on there for your life. Satan deals in the realm of the flesh, okay? And whether you believe that or not, Satan absolutely hates your guts. I mean, that's a bad way of saying that maybe, but it's actually a whole lot worse than that. I mean, if it was up to Satan, you'd be dead right now. I mean, you'd be gone faster than a puff of smoke, okay? And it's funny that, you know, I mean, if he can get you to dabble in a little sin here, you know, got little fun things here that aren't too bad, you know, and man, that's okay with him. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. And we don't realize that, man, I mean, he's out to get us. I mean, he does not like us at all. And if he can't have us, well, then he sure doesn't want us doing what it is we're supposed to be doing. The opposite of that, then, is that God really does love you more than you'll ever possibly dream or desire or imagine, okay? And you are very, very important to God. You're so important that he gave his son to die for you. And I don't know why it is, but for some reason God chose people to carry on the work that he has. Okay, and each person is extremely, extremely important and valuable to God. And that's why it's important that we learn to do the things that he wants us to do the way he wants us to do it. And you can't do on your own effort the things that God wants you to do. Now, the word in verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." I'm going to lay a little Greek on you tonight, not much, and you'll see later why that's important. But anyway, this word here, walk, is peripateo, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. And it just means walking around. I'm walking around here on stage. I'm walking to class. I'm walking in my car. Everything you do, you're walking around, and you're walking in the Spirit. Okay? And I don't know all that that means. I think I have an idea of what some of it means. You have the idea all through Scripture of meditating on the Word of God. Joshua, the Psalms, Proverbs, John, 2 Timothy. All through the Word of God, there's the idea of meditating on Scripture day and night. And it's interesting that when Scripture speaks of success or being prosperous or victorious, it almost always equates it with a constant meditation on the Word of God. So that I think that's one important aspect of walking in the Spirit. Another aspect is the idea of praying without ceasing. The aspect of in everything you do, you're in an attitude of prayer. And it's hard to, when you're walking around, be praying all the time. But you know, God gives you thoughts or things in your mind that you need to pray about. And so you can do that all during the day. You don't have to be in a dark corner in your closet to do that. It's the idea of praying all day and night, okay, and keeping your focus above. Well, and another idea is the idea of setting your mind on things above, where God is. Colossians 1, verses 2 and 3 say, if you have been raised up with Christ, set your mind, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are of the earth. And so it's the idea of putting your mind and your aspect and your walk up there where it ought to be, okay, where God is. Now, a couple of helpful hints. Tomorrow, when you go out and you try to start meditating on Scripture all day long and praying without ceasing, you're going to be extremely disappointed and frustrated, probably. I mean, I have not been able to do that totally successfully yet. And so let me give you a couple of helpful hints to get you in the right direction on that. One of them is you've got to have a consistent quality quiet time, a time daily where you spend in the Word of God in prayer, fellowshipping with Him. Okay? I mean, if those are not in your life and are consistent and are quality, you're not going to be able to walk in the Spirit because it is not going to be there. It's not going to be inside you anywhere to deal with. And another one is keeping your Scripture memory both active and, well, both up to date and keeping your review active, okay? Making sure that you're in the process of doing that and keeping on top of it, okay? Spending time daily doing that. There are other things. Bible study, a time where you're studying the Bible in depth, character studies, book studies, character qualities, things like that, chapter studies. And it's the, you know, there are some other things that we know as far as fellowshipping with believers, being involved with the body. And I have found for myself in my life, you know, we all have the things, list of things that we like to do. You know, we have them ordered the most important to the least. And for me, if I don't spend a minimum of a half an hour in the Word and a half an hour in prayer daily, then I just don't do it. It just doesn't come. It isn't there. Now, that's not like you every day you've got to do this come heaven or high water, you know. But it's the idea that it's the consistent pattern of your life to do that, okay? If that is not, then there is not going to be the aspect of walking in the Spirit. And you know, it's the one thing about working with athletes that your athletes struggle with is the idea of keeping God first in as above sports being first in their life. And there are lots of reasons why that, but one big reason why is that they spend a lot of time doing that. They football players during season, those guys average 6 to 8 hours a day just in football. I mean, by the time you figure they've got to go and get dressed, then they practice 2 or 3 hours, and then they have films that they got to watch before practice and films after practice and school sessions. And by the time it's all said and done, they spend a minimum of 6 hours a day in football during football season. During the off season, they spend a minimum of 2 to 3 hours. Okay, in all of the sports that I know, you know, you're looking at 3 to 4 hours for sure, without a doubt, every day. Well, that's a lot of time. And anytime you invest that much time of your life in anything, your thoughts are going to be focused. And besides the fact that those guys are, you're talking a lot of blood and sweat and tears in on that, and money. And I mean, that's the reason they're here. It's because they're good athletes. So, you know, anything you do. I mean, I used to play the guitar a lot. And I got to the point where I couldn't wait until I got home after school. So I'd come home and play the guitar. I mean, that's all I thought about. Or I remember when I started learning how to work with computers, and it got to be fun, and it got to where I was thinking about all day and night was the next program I was going to write, or how to fix the one I was on. Anything that you spend a great deal amount of time in is going to consume your life and your thoughts. And so it's the idea of you need to have good, consistent, quality time in the Word of God to be obedient. Where's Charlie Ann? This thing's not working too well. Good. Get me a new one. Is there another one, or do I get another microphone? Oh, okay. I wanted the good one. Okay, is that on? It is on, okay. Doesn't sound the same, does it? Okay, enough said on that one. I better take my watch off. I don't want to be able to see it, I just want it off. There's a clock up there in there, okay. Well, you need to realize that Satan really is battling for your life. There really is a serious, serious battle for your life. And that's why it's important that you need to get on with it in your relationship with the Lord. Well, number two, walking in the Spirit means knowing how to fight the battle. If there's a battle going on, then it'd probably be good if you knew how to fight and win. Verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." What law is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the law of Moses. Okay, the Old Testament law. All the rules and regulations, and if you do this, then this is going to happen, and if you don't do it, then you're going to get zapped, okay? And then the opposite of that is it contrasts it with walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Well, what's the difference then between the law and the Spirit? Let me give you not a definition, but just a statement as far as what's been helpful to me in understanding the difference there. The law basically primarily deals with an outward action that reveals an inward motivation. That's the primary purpose of the law, or the primary function, I guess I should say, of the law, was to show the outward action that revealed the inward motivation. Well, the primary function of the Spirit then is it deals with an inward motivation that results in an outward action. Okay, you see the difference there? Now, if you call my hand on that, you'll be able to probably find some instances where that may not be true. But generally speaking, the big overarching picture, that is what the difference is. Verse 19 through 21, we've got a big list of what the flesh is, the fleshly realm is, as far as immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, and the list goes on. And so these are mostly, generally speaking, are outward acts, outward actions, okay? And they reveal what's going on inside of here. It's interesting that if there's not any anger in there, then you can't get angry. I mean, somebody can do whatever they want to do to you, but you're not going to get angry. But if you're getting angry, then there's probably some anger in there, okay? Well, contrast that then with verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Well, if you're living in the realm of the Spirit, man, you don't have to worry about the law. I mean, the law is already taken care of because the Spirit, you're automatically doing what is right. Okay? And how does this work? Well, it's the idea of, let's say you're having a problem with anger, okay? And God tells you, well, you need to start working on that because that's not good. You're getting mad and yelling at everybody all the time, and you don't need to do that. And so what's the first thing you're doing? Well, you're going to try to not get angry, okay? So the next time somebody does something to you, you try to hold it in. You squeeze it down and you grit your teeth, and you don't get angry, right? Well, that's not exactly what happened because you were getting angry. But you're trying to squelch it. Well, what happens? You got it. Well, the next time something happens, you get angry again and you squelch it down. Well, it's kind of like putting a lid on a boiling pot of water. I mean, eventually either thing's going to explode or it's going to find another passage out, okay? So you concentrate on the outward action and you're headed for trouble because it's not going to work. And, I mean, we all have instances where we've tried to do that. Now, some things you may have success in. But generally speaking, you're not going to have much success overcoming, especially things like anger or lust or backbiting or things like that. Well, then, how do you do that? Well, you start learning how to walk in the realm of the Spirit and learning to listen to the voice in there. You're spending time in the Word, you're spending time in prayer, and you're listening to the voice of God, and He says, okay, here's the problem. Now, why is that happening? What's going on? What's your focus here? And so God starts dealing with you in that, and then you repent of that and ask for God's help in that. And, I mean, you want to do what's right, but it's not in there for you to do it. So you're asking for God's power and God's help to deal with it. And He begins to show you things in your life, some reasons why. And so you deal with those. You know, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to keep you out of trouble, to keep you off away from the bad things or going wrong, and keep you on the right track and getting on with God and doing the right things with God. So then, if you're hanging around with people that their language is not the same, the movies they see are not the same, the places they go are not the same as you're accustomed to or need to be going, and if you start hanging around those, well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start acting like they do and do the things they do, and you're going to be caught up in the realm of the flesh. So then, if God's leading you another direction, then you start doing those things. You start being obedient to the voice of God as He reveals things through the Word and through prayer. Then you start getting victory in your life over sin, and you start seeing God work in some situations that you would never have dreamed possible. And it's Even in circumstances, like I remember when the summer before my first senior year, I was asked to. Hey, I'm not alone in that either. I had an opportunity to be a summer youth intern at a church, and wasn't offered a lot of money. I was offered a little. But I was scared, didn't think I could do it, and all that kind of stuff. And I was also had a couple of other job offers that I'd make more in 1 month than I would all summer working at this youth intern job. And there was a struggle going on. But boy, I prayed about it and I sought counsel, and I knew down in there that's where God wanted me to go. But boy, it just wasn't clicking right with me. I liked the fact that I was going to be having some money at the end of the summer. So I decided to go. And didn't think I was able to, my talents and abilities and all that kind of stuff. But I went. And I got there and I started doing all the stuff I knew to do and tried all the tricks. And I was bombing. I mean, it was not going well. And so one night I just said, God, from what I could tell, you wanted me here. And I don't know what's going on. But from this time on, I'm going to quit doing all this stuff. And I'm just going to lift up Jesus Christ. And whatever happens, happens. And boy, I tell you, by the end of the summer, I saw God work. I mean, God used that to get my attention. And some other things that He showed me. Living in Norman is kind of somewhat of a sheltered environment in that we don't really have a poor section of town. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of racial prejudice. But when I went to Plainview, Texas, for the first time, I saw 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls that are pregnant walking around the streets, you know, meeting 16-year-old girls who already have a couple of kids. Just some poverty situations that I'd not been exposed to before. And seeing that what a need there is out there. And boy, God opened my eyes. And I remember one kid, his name was Michael, and he was between the 7th and 8th grade, and his mother, for all practical purposes, had abandoned the family. He had a sister that was about a senior in high school, something like that. And his mother had been known for doing some prostitution, and she worked all day as a waitress, and then at night, God knows what she was doing. So she just wasn't around much. I mean, the kid, he's going into the 8th grade. He's in the summer going to the 8th grade. No money to eat on. He's got to get a job so he can eat and buy clothes. He makes his own food. He's his own boss. And man, he was a nice kid. I mean, he was a nice kid. You'd think someone, he'd had good parental upbringing. And now he was starting to go off the wild end here. He's getting about to that age, you know. And so we spent all summer, and he started coming around a little bit. Not much there, but he was a nice guy. Well, finally, I remember the last night before I was leaving, they threw a party for me. You know, they never throw you a party until you leave, and then they throw you a party. So they were throwing a party, and all the people were telling you how much it was nice you'd be there and all that. And he was there. And afterwards, a few friends of mine and I left to go eat a pizza, and I asked Michael if he wanted to come with. He says, yeah, sure, I'll be there. So this place is about 5 or 6 miles away, and he rode his bike over there. And now, this is getting pretty late. This is around midnight, you know, and here's a kid going to the 8th grade riding his bicycle around town. And so he came and ate pizza with him. He's the only one that age that was there. And so we talked, and he scarfed down the pizza, you know. And then the time came, he was ready to leave. And so when we left, we're walking out, and I shook his hand. You don't hug junior high kids, you know, you shake their hand. And so I shook his hand, and boy, I could see him just trying to fight back the tears. Just, I could tell that he really had found somebody who cared about him and who knew about how to live the right kind of life, and now he was leaving. And boy, it was hard. And God really used that to open my eyes to a lot of the need that there is out there. And had I not chosen to do that at that time, I don't know, God is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants to do with whoever He wants to do it with. But boy, I've never had a chance like I had that summer. And had I not been sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what would have happened. Well, okay, we need to realize that there's a real spiritual battle going on for your life. We need to know how to fight the battle. And finally, we need to know what it means. Well, we need to learn to have an obedient heart. Okay, you need to learn to be obedient to what God teaches you. Verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Well, whoops, wait a minute, hold on. Let me back up just a minute. I need to lay a little more Greek on you. Back up to the first point about knowing how to fight the battle. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word led there is ago, A-G-O, ago. It means I lead. Okay? And it's the idea of the Spirit, follow the leader, okay? When the Spirit goes this way, you go that way. And if the Spirit's going this way, then you quit going this way and you go this way. Okay? That's the idea. I meant to give that one to you. Okay. We've got the idea of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Now, back to the point that we're on, by learning to live an obedient heart. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Okay? Living in the Spirit. The word there just means to live, okay? I mean, that's where our life is. When you become baptized, it's Colossians 1, verse 13 says, but he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Okay, it's the idea. Well, Colossians 3, 3 and 4 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. And verse 4 says, and when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we will also be revealed with him in glory. Okay? Your life, when you become a Christian, your life is now up there. I mean, that's the reason that you live from this day forth. Okay? And you're going to be raised up someday to eternal life. And that's where it's going to be. That's where it is right now. Okay? So he says, if you live by the Spirit, which we do, then let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, the word walk here is not the same word that they use in verse 16, the word here is stoikeo, S-T-O-I-K-E-O. You all don't like my Greek. I don't care. Now, here's what stoikeo means. It means literally to walk in a straight line. And it was primarily used as a military term. Okay, when you see these guys in the military marching along in these nice, neat rows, okay, and their steps are exactly the same. And when the guy who's leading them says, okay, turn to the left, they all turn to the right, they all turn to the right. And when he says, turn to the left, they turn to the left. And when he says, stop, they stop. And when he says, go, they go, okay? So that's the idea of when the Holy Spirit tells you something, convicts you something, I don't know. I'm not talking about an audible voice that you hear. Some people claim that they hear that. I never have. But it's the idea God gives you thoughts or impressions or convictions. And when he says, do something, you do it. When he says, go this way, you go that way. And when he says, go this way, you go that way. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of how it probably ought to be like. When I was in seminary one summer, we'd had Matthew was about 2 years old, and Kara was about to be born in a couple of months. Ardith was about 7 months pregnant, I guess. And we had gone to church one Sunday, and we, of course, were running a little bit late. And so Ardith went on up to get us a seat, and we always sat up front. You know, Ardith likes to sit on the front row, you can see. And so I had taken Matthew down to the toddler's department, and I had set him down and got him all situated, and I bent down to give him a kiss, you know, before I left. I heard this rip. And I ripped the seam of my pants, good 6 to 8 inches. I mean, thank God I was wearing this coat, I think, at the time. And there was one lady in the department at the time, and evidently she didn't hear it or something, so I get up and walk out, and I'm climbing along the walls, and I've got to go get Ardith, who's sitting at the front of the church. Okay? Now, I work that out, and I get to the front, and I open the door, and I'm flagging down Ardith, and God and everybody saw me waving, but not Ardith. Ardith is sitting reading her Bible or praying. I don't know what she's doing, but she can't see me waving. So it's getting close to time now, so I ease out the door and talk to the usher, and the usher starts chuckling, and and he goes up and gets Ardith, and the artist starts chuckling, and then she grabs her stuff, and about this time the choir is coming in, okay? So we walk out, and so Ardith walks right behind me. I mean, she is right there. She's got an investment she's protecting, and she is walking right behind me. And when I turned this way, she went that way, okay? And when I turned this way, she went that way. Now, that's maybe a little crude illustration of what needs to happen. But that's a picture of what it ought to be like, okay? I mean, wherever the Spirit's going, that's where you go. I'll scratch that one for next time. Well, let me give you a more realistic example. What time is it? Let me see. Okay. When I was in seminary, I was working full time for an oil service company in the computer center. And I remember one time I took a lunch break, and there was a guy in there that I had met. I didn't know, but he was in there eating his lunch. He was by himself, and I'm walking in, and I'm getting set up to eat, and there's this thought, this impression, this, you know, voice in there saying, you know, you ought to go talk to that guy about the Lord. And I thought, well, this guy's a disco dancer. You know, I mean, he goes out on the weekends and disco dances with his wife. And I'm thinking, God, you know what disco dancers do? And do you know where they go? And I used, you know, and but the thought was there, and I thought, well, okay. So I go sit down to him and talk to him, and I start talking about the Lord and his religious background. Come to find out, the guy had been saved when he was in high school and had gone to a Baptist church. He was Catholic and then started going to Baptist church, and then he got into college and had kind of been getting out of it. And he got married, and his wife used to be Baptist, and they had gone a couple of times but weren't getting into it. So we started talking, and I started encouraging him about getting into the Word and prayer and getting into a good Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God in truth. Boy, he was excited. I mean, we had a great time for an hour just talking about the Lord, and boy, he thanked me. And it's interesting, 1 or 2 months, I can't exactly remember when, but very shortly after that, he got transferred to a different shift, okay? I worked first shift, and he got transferred to third shift. I would see him occasionally in passing, you know, and kind of, hey, how's it going? You going to church? And but I never had a time like that again to talk with him about that. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't been obedient to what the Lord was telling me. But I know that that was a unique circumstance, and because I was obedient to the Lord, Lord used that. I can tell you a time today when I was in the dorms, and there's a guy that looks about like the Hulk. You know, he's just muscles everywhere, good-looking guy. You know, we'd walk down the halls, and I'd say hi, and he'd kind of grunt, you know. Nothing there, never spoke to me. And so today I was visiting a guy, and he happened to come in at the time, and so we're talking. And so here's this voice again saying, you ought to talk to him about the Lord. You know, you ought to find out where he is. So I start talking to the guy, and kind of find out, you know, he accepted the Lord, and he was in high school, and he's been going to some strange church in Oklahoma City now. I'd never even heard of it, but he's not doing much with the Lord. I mean, his lifestyle is very contrary to the Lord of God. We told him about the Bible study we're having. Yeah, you're having a Bible study? What time? Well, it meets at 9:30. Yeah. And very excited, knowing that there was a Bible study going on for athletes. And I thought, man, alive, I'd have never guessed that in a million years. And, you know, I've passed by the guy all semester, and I don't know as far as circumstances, but boy, that was a unique time, and God used it. Okay, I don't know, the verdict's still out yet as to whether he comes around or not, but, you know, now when I pass by the guy and say hi, probably he's going to say hi back at least, so we made progress. Well, the walking in the Spirit, just basically three things. You need to understand that there's a real battle going on for your life. Satan absolutely despises you, everything about you, and he wants you gone now. And if it was up to him, you would be. But for some reason, God decided that he wants you around for a while, and he needs you and loves you and is wanting to use you a tremendous amount. He's just waiting on you, okay? You need to understand how to fight the battle. You don't fight the battle in the flesh, and you don't fight the battle by keeping a bunch of laws and rules and regulations, okay? You fight the battle by learning how to walk in the Spirit, being sensitive to the Spirit, and obeying the Spirit, having an obedient heart, okay? Well, let's end with a word of prayer real quick.
Lord, thank you for the time that you've allowed us to be together tonight. And we know that even this time that we're here is a gift to you, because so many places they're not able to do this. And if it's up to Satan, we sure wouldn't be here. So you must have had a reason for it. And God, we thank you that you are a great and mighty and a kind and loving and merciful God, that you love us more than we'll ever possibly dream or desire or imagine. And God, if we knew how much you did, we would be jumping around all over the place. And God, I pray that you would teach us how to learn who you are. Thank you for your word that you've given us to show us how to live life the way it needs to be lived, the abundant life. And I pray that you would teach us what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk in obedience to you, to live a victorious life on this earth. And we pray that above all, God, we don't want any glory for ourselves. We don't want people to see what we're doing. But God, we want people to know that because you're working in our lives, that they will be able to see you, that you really can do miracles, and that you would do miracles through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.